Well, good morning, everybody. We have a special guest with us this morning. John Connolly joins us. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Thank you very much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Of course, we have a big show coming up here at the Historic Indiana Theater in downtown Terre Haute on the 18th, and we're looking forward to seeing the show.
Well, we're looking forward to being there. It's been a little while since we've been in the area, but we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can remember years ago we had you at Holman Center in Terre Haute, and we were both a lot younger back then.
Yes, right. Exactly right. Thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate it.
Hey, tell us a little bit about John Connolly. How'd you get started in the business and your steps toward where you are today?
Well, the thing that brought me to Nashville was doing what you folks are doing, which is morning radio. I started in 71 at WLAC, and the only reason I moved to Nashville was because I got that particular job. But that eventually allowed me to turn the hobby of music into a career after I'd been here a while and gotten to meet some people.
Well, now, WLAC wasn't a country radio station at that time, right?
Oh, no. I never worked for a full-time country station. There was one time at one small station where I did about an hour of country early in the morning before going into the middle-of-the-road format. But I never worked at a full-time country station. In fact, WLAC was news talk then as it is now when I came to town. I was hired to read news for 4 hours every day.
Ah, well, so you started out with a real job then that actually meant something, like those of us that are newsreaders.
There you go. Exactly right. When the media was the media.
Yeah, that's exactly. It wasn't fake media back in those days.
Exactly.
Well, tell us about the musical career of the first song and how did that happen?
Well, I started writing after I'd been here for a little while, and because I worked with another fellow who'd been here several years longer than I and had gotten to meet some of the executives on Music Row, he could pick up the phone and get me an appointment to play those songs that I was writing for the Jim Fogle songs and some of the A-Team music people in town, and eventually that led to an offer to record. That's essentially how it happened, and you know, that took several years. It wasn't overnight, nor was it overnight once we started recording. It took a couple of years from the time we recorded Backside of 30 and Rose Colored Glasses for one of them to surface as our first hit.
Talk a little bit about the songwriting process. Where do you get your inspiration from? Where do your ideas come from?
Well, back then, when I had a lot of free time, that's the time when I was actually writing a lot. Ever since... Backside and Rose Color, the only two singles I wrote. Everything else I've done have been to the full-time songwriters who do it so well. And once the free time evaporated, when the career took off, I stopped writing, essentially. I still write down an idea when I get it, but, you know, other than that, I mean, when you got A-Team songs from Harlan Howard and Sonny Throckmorton and Red Lane and some of these greats, Guy Clark, I didn't pursue the writing anymore.
Well, not to diminish those guys any, but to have your first two to be those two mega hits, I'd say you're not too shabby.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I can do it, but it's just not my main deal. Mm-hmm. Singing always was, and I kind of started writing just to see if I could, and turns out I could. But again, it takes a lot of free time to do it.
And you know, one other thing that kind of surprised me is the fact that back in your early musical days, your musical history, you started out as a barbershopper.
Yeah, our little town in central Kentucky, Versailles, Kentucky, had a barbershop chorus that I did high tenor in for several years, and basically late high school and right after. And we put on a concert every year. We'd rehearse for 5 or 6 months preparing for that concert. So I did a lot of barbershop doing that, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. I learned a lot about harmony doing it, of course.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it was. It was wonderful.
Yeah, unlike your other job, which is mortician, there's nothing fun about that, I would think.
nothing you could call fun. However, a lot of self-satisfaction from feeling like you are helping people through what for most of us is the worst thing we'll ever go through, losing a loved one. And I learned more about people and service doing that than I could have any other way, I think.
You did a gospel album not too long ago. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus is the name of it. Mm-hmm. It's been out a few years now. Basically, many of the songs out of the hymn book and the Gaither-type songs. And I'm getting ready. My next new project is going to be a second edition of gospel, and we're going to do the same thing. We found a few new songs to put on it, but they don't sound, you know, they are not the contemporary praise and worship type thing. They are the classic songs that have a message and a melody.
What, of all the songs that you've done and released over the years, what's your favorite?
Well, of my hits, Rose Colored Glasses will always hit my list for a lot of reasons. I wrote it. You know, it got me the first recording contract. It has become a standard in music, so that'll always hit my list. But I love a lot of different styles of music by a lot of different artists. They have to be soul singers. I mean, they have to really sell what they sing. And, you know, it's Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin, but it's also George and Merle, and it's also Frank Sinatra and Tony Bennett. It's a lot of different people.
Hey, is there anybody out today that you would consider to be one of the great up-and-comers that can rank with the George Jones and people of your era, so to speak, that will be are this generation's true stars?
The one thing that I do miss about the new people, and I meet an awful lot of them when they guest with us on the Opry, and they're very nice folks, but I don't hear that new Merle Haggard or George Jones voice among them. There are people who get a little bit close, perhaps, from song to song, but I sure hope we find somebody like that that just stands out and is undeniable. But it's not their fault. It's the industry's fault. They're not looking for that. And that's unfortunate.
Well, when we decided to put this radio station on the air just a little over a year ago now, I've been in this business for a long time, and I wanted to play classic country music, real country music.
Right.
And boy, you fit right in there, that's for sure.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear that. I need a place to fit in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, tell us about the tour. I mean, you're at a point in your career now. You're touring just a lot of fun for you? Are you just taking it easy? Or what are you doing tour-wise?
Well, no, we're actually, last year, we were busier than we had been since the 90s. I think we ended up doing about 80 shows then, and we're going to hit that mark again this year. I may back it down just slightly from that, but I don't have a retirement plan. I don't have a plan not to do this. My voice has held up very well. It's more fun to sing than ever before.
Good.
And as long as people keep showing up and I can do it, then I don't plan to stop doing it.
Well, speaking of that, the show is July the 18th at the Indiana Theater in downtown Terre Haute. Tickets are available online at itickets.com. I would urge everybody to hurry up and get some tickets because they're selling pretty quick. Also, there's an 800 number, 800-965-9324. What can we expect on the show coming up on the 18th, John, other than your hits? I mean, tell us a little bit about the show and how do you start out and end things up?
Well, we concentrate on the hits, certainly, and we get all the main ones in. But we do have a series of CDs called Classics. There are three discs in it, the most recent of which is Classics 3. And they all, if you have all three, you have all of our hits, but you also have a lot of new music. So we'll do a couple of the new songs that appear on the various classic CDs. We'll do a little bit of gospel. And, of course, I'll be hanging around after the show to sign autographs and take a picture for those who want it.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you again. And, I know the Wabash Valley here is excited about it, and we're going to have a great crowd there that night.
I hope so. You can't have the party if you don't show up.
There
so
you go. All right. You got your rose-colored glasses with you.
I will have several pair of them.
Okay. John Conley, thank you so much. We're looking forward to seeing you on July 18th.
Thank you, Barry.